So I think there are like two separate things here, and we seem to be, you know, we seem to be combining, you know, the two, and it's not going to work that way. We need to either, if we're going to do an RFP process, we need to talk about that, and then we need to talk about the specific one that's here, that's in terms of looking at these three areas and how to move and to approve any funding or per project or how it should be submitted. So again, so do we want to look at RFP, or do we want to look at what has been presented here, which we don't really know what it is?
May I
Chair, this is Jane.
Sure.
Here we recognize
go ahead. Dave. Hello?
This meeting, if I recall correctly, was scheduled explicitly for the purpose of dealing with this piece. That's my memory of it. We didn't get through it. We said the next meeting is for that. And we had these documents weeks ago. Before that, the prior meeting. So what my interest is in taking a forward step on this general, on this topic. Now, I unfortunately don't have access to my email, so I can't find the document you're looking at. So maybe somebody can help me. Does the document not describe what is the proposed RFP process and what the areas of funding will be?
Can I speak at personal privilege? The time is 7:15, and we're your son. You thought that this is the whole thing that we should discuss, and we're just getting to this. You know, my proposal is: shall we just continue the meeting? You know, we identify what it is that we want to discuss with this proposal. There's a meeting on Thursday to discuss this idea, and with the conference call. Shall we meet again now that we know what it is that's been proposed, what our desire is in discussing this, and meet and do those exact things? Because, you know, it's like 7:15, and we've just, I believe, perhaps come to a decision on why we have this here and what we need to discuss. So is there any agreement to continue the meeting to discuss this one item rather than tonight?
Chairman. Comment.
Jane, please.
I do think this particular policy, this particular proposal, might warrant a little more input from the Finance Committee than some, because a request for proposal, it has certain fiduciary context to it. So I don't know if I can make the meeting that is scheduled, but I support your concept to deal with this motion specifically in an adjourned session.
Okay. Dave.
Gary,
I'm not catching the voices. What's that?
So
Gary?
What I see in front of me is a proposal that details an RFP process that has a estimated financial impact of $50,000, because that is the amount that would be devoted to RFPs. Regardless of any changes to the process that might develop out of the upcoming meeting before a motion for an RFP process comes before the PMB, the financial impact would be the same, because that's how much the CFO is recommending we budget for RFPs. Therefore, I support the motion on the floor that we consider it now.
Madam Chair,
I'd like to ask a question.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Lonnie.
Well, you know, I don't know how detailed people have read this thing, but it does have priorities in those three areas that reflect what the board has set as some of the priorities. But it does also outline a ranking and review process with RFP. That detail is in there, and there's more where that came from. It identifies the selection process, how proposals would be solicited, how they would be reviewed, what committees of the board itself would be involved. So it is there in terms of the process. If we need more time for that review, so that people feel they really understand that part of it, an adjourned meeting, depending on when you had in mind, adjourned to what date you're thinking?
Well, next Monday.
Next Monday.
Yeah.
Brian, we have a team meeting.
Question? I hear Brian, Jane, and Dave.
Wasn't I on the stack earlier?
Sure.
So is it me or is it Dave?
I did not have I didn't know I had a stack going, but go ahead, Dave. What is your point?
Okay. Yeah, next Monday we have a PNB meeting. And again, I want to repeat, the purpose of this meeting was to do this. And earlier in the meeting when I said I'd like to flip it and do this versus, no, we should do the
okay,
numbers.
Excuse me, I don't mean
so
it.
I would like
point
to,
of personal privilege.
I would like to
go ahead, Dave.
In order.
Go ahead.
So I would like us to spend the time dealing with what is before us, good, bad, or indifferent. And I think we should act on that motion. If people don't want to pass that, then we won't pass it. But I'd rather spend the time. It's taken a bit long to get to that point. I'm willing to spend the extra time right now to deal with what's before us. And then we can make our decisions about whether it's appropriate to meet again or not.
Right,
I would oppose another meeting because I have no greater confidence that the next meeting will result in any difference in outcome than this one did, i.e. that we'll be able to act on what we scheduled.
Okay. Thank you, Dave. Brian?
What I would like to do is separate giving feedback on this, which I think we all want to do, from putting it to a vote immediately. And I would propose as a substitute that we have 30 minutes of informal discussion of the motion and continue it to a future meeting.
Okay, Jane.
And, you know, give Lonnie the opportunity to act on that feedback in the meantime.
I found the answer to my question. I wanted to know what the source of funds for proposed expenditure was, and I see the source of funds is proposed to be the National Office mail drop revenues. I did wonder if that source of funds was already overtaxed. If we really are expecting enough revenue from that source to pick up this extra item?
I'm saying yes. That would be yes.
Yes, we're overtaxed, or yes, we have enough extra?
Yes, we do actually have a couple of places, but mail drop revenue is overproduced at this point. 300,000, we have more than 300,000 in the house. So, and we have more mail drops going out, so I feel that will suffice. And if that does not occur, say for example, the other place that I've identified is travel and conferences in the National Office budget. We're underspending that line item. Legal, we're underspending as well. So the funds will be there, I think, in scenario one or scenario two. So either one, I think, will work.
Okay. So Terry, if you can help me here, we're considering a couple of proposals in terms of how to continue this meeting. One is that we just go ahead and go through this discussion on this RFP process. Lonnie was said that, you know, I think similar to what Brian said, we'll do the discussion, we'll get the feedback, and then we will do a continuing meeting. So if it looks like the PNB is on Tuesday, perhaps on Monday, we could do Tuesday. And so how does the committee, I mean, how would we like to proceed?
Point of order?
Sure. Dave?
The prior discussion was part of the discussion we should have. Why don't we just vote the proposals, the substitute and the main motion, and get the will of the body and move on?
And as privilege, my wording of Brian's substitute, which would be voted on next, is that the committee have 30 minutes of informal discussion on the RFP proposal and then postpone the remainder of discussion to an adjourned meeting.
Okay, is that the current motion? Is there any further discussion on this motion as amended by Brian? Would we like to vote, or is there any objections to this?
Yes, there's an objection.
Okay, how many do I hear? Dave and...
You hear at least two, so we need to do roll call. I'm getting ready for that.
All right, thanks.
Okay, on the substitute, how do you vote, Dave Adelson?
No.
Baruti Bediako.
Abstain.
Abstain. Brian Edwards Tekert.
Yes.
Yes. Jane Gatewood.
Yes.
Yes. Terry Goodman votes no. Lonnie Hitz.
I don't have to vote no.
That's a no?
No.
Sandra Rawline.
I abstain.
LeVarne Williams,
all vote yes.
We'll vote yes. Okay. I have three yeses.
Excuse me, is Thomas on the call?
No.
Is Berto there? He was there earlier.
Berto and Thomas were both on earlier.
Thomas has not been on.
Thomas, no.
Okay, I did hear Bertold. Is Bertold on the call?
Are you on mute?
Bertold?
Star 6, Bertold.
Bertold Reimers, Thomas Ruffin, or Bob Sanborn, who were not here for the initial roll call.
Okay. Okay, they're not there. Okay, so it's a tie.
Bertold's
so.
Not here now,
okay.
But he was here.
Okay. So what is the count again?
The count is three yes and three no, which means not a majority.
Right. Okay. No. So we should go back.
And there were two abstentions.
Right. So we should go back to the original motion?
Yes. And we'll have further discussion.
Do I hear further discussion on that?
Could you repeat it, Terry?
The motion now on the floor. Dave moves that the committee now consider the CFO's RFP proposal so as to provide committee feedback on the process and review the preliminary estimate of financial impact prior to the upcoming finance orientation teleconference.
Can I make one comment before we vote?
Sure, go ahead.
If after the discussion people don't want to vote in favor of, you know, the financial impact statement, they don't have to. So if you agree to go ahead with this, you're not depriving yourself of an opportunity to vote in opposition later.
Is there further discussion?
Well, let me be clear. Lonnie here.
Sure.
If we go ahead and make the discussion, it seems to me reasonable that if we at some point, for purpose of discussion, want to vote on this financial impact statement, at least having received it and reviewed it and discussed it, we shouldn't foreclose that possibility. No reason to do that. If we don't want to review it, or don't want to approve it in any way, then we don't have to do it. At least we have the option. And we're saying that let's have the discussion first, see how it goes. That's how I'm understanding the motion.
Okay, is there further discussion?
This is Jane.
Sure, Jane.
Can we just move? Do we have to vote on this motion? Or can we just start talking about it?
Yeah, that's. I don't know why we have it. All right, why we have to do a motion to discuss.
Okay, I'd like to move the question.
Okay.
And then I'd like to make a comment or a question.
Okay, so Terry, where were you? We have read the motion.
Well,
and go ahead.
The chair could consider that last comment a point of order and rule on whether
right.
or not we have to vote on,
exactly.
on whether
okay,
to consider.
I think that's a valid point of order, as I said. So at this point, you know, the chair, I rule that it's a valid point and that we can just go ahead into discussion versus a motion to conduct the discussion.
Yay. I'm trying to stack.
Okay, then I'd like to get on.
Actually, it's
okay. Let me just do a little time check again. It's I have 7:28 Pacific Daylight Time. So hopefully we can get off the call at the latest. I mean, that's like 11 o'clock Eastern Time.
Are you suggesting time certain, 8 o'clock, Madam Chair?
You know, I would like to suggest that if the committee does not have any issues with that. Yes.
Just start the discussion, please.
We will. I'm trying to get a time in. I don't want to go into a P&B meeting where it's like, what time did you guys get up the call? 1:30? So, okay. So I didn't hear any objections, so we're time certain is 8. Okay. Let's go ahead. Okay, and so why don't we
as we I'm sorry, I went into mute. I'm sorry, can I do it informally? Let's, you know, I'll call the names, just start discussing, you know, what the issues are, and then move forward. Thank you. Go ahead. Who's first?
This is Jane.
Jane.
Okay, I'll just go through as quickly as I can. Item B, the motivating board motion, I would like to ask you, whoever wrote this, to insert the the motion that does not refer to the meeting, because it's very confusing to think that we're approving $50,000 for this meeting, and that's really what it implies. The second thing is we have two letter Bs. B is a motivating board motion, and B is the description scope of work. So perhaps renumber the second B to C, description scope of work, and other than that, I do think it's pretty clear. I mean, I think I had some concerns about the source of funds and the fact that there's a reference that there's an attached budget, and I don't see it here. Lonnie, is there an attached budget in, with more detail than what we see in front of us?
No, a budget hasn't been done.
Okay.
This is a general purpose form, and you're
okay.
Right, I shouldn't have put... Yes, because the budget hasn't been done. It depends. We're just trying to get this preliminary financial impact statement reviewed by this committee, and it'll be reviewed by the folks on that call, so they have an idea what the project's about. So this is just preliminary. And the board has asked me to do it, so that's why I did it.
Yeah. I mean, I really would like to see that item be replaced with something that's a little more helpful to the reader.
I'll put no at this point, because budget's been done, because there's no project.
Pardon me?
There's no budget that's been done, because there's no project that's been proposed. Mm-hmm. There's been a project proposed. And,
great, but at the very introduction where it has the motivating board motion, that should either be deleted or replaced with something that has more relevance to the scope of work that comes below it.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's exactly the way they passed it. Yeah, confusing as it is, that's how they passed it. Maybe you can refresh my memory, LaVon. Wasn't there another motion by Ambrose where he had wanted internet-based shows? Wasn't that a companion motion?
Sorry, could you say that again?
Ambrose got approval for a motion that the board would approve the creation of internet-based shows, and also remember his thing about moving in the community and doing local support for those internet-based shows. I remember that motion having passed as well.
I'll look. The motion. He had a motion on moving the internet presence forward, but I don't know what else. Yeah, that was the one about aggressively establishing up the plan.
And the RFP process could be a way of getting that done. So they seem to go together. But anyway, sorry, I digress.
I'm sorry, clarification?
Sure, go ahead.
You're suggesting, as I understand it, Jane, is to take out parts of that motion because it is confusing. I grant you it certainly is.
Based on what I see and hear, I think that the first section B of this document, motivating board motion, I think that should be deleted. I don't think that it helps in any way in understanding what comes later. And if there's an... You know, since there's already two Bs, I would suggest eliminating that one.
The
motivating board motion does not have anything to do with the rest of the document that follows, so it's just a source of confusion.
Well, this is Lauren. It does, because this was the request. I mean, it was to go into an RFP process to form it, but... I think that's why, we've discussed this in the past. Go ahead, Dave.
So one of my questions is, how does the amount of money, so let's say you have $50,000 and you have three areas, you have programming, technology, and outreach, and again, I'm at a disadvantage because I don't have those docs in front of me because they were an email, but how, is it going to be that a specified project is going to be, you know, project amounts are up to a given amount, and then After review, there's going to be a decision as to the total amount of funding available for each A, area, and B, project? Or where in the process does the amount of money for individual projects get determined, and how much is it? So, for example, are you saying we'll accept up to four projects, up to $5,000 each in this area? Or are you saying we'll accept projects in this area and then deciding how much you're going to fund for each project?
Well, the proposal is that there will be teams that review and develop criteria for ranking proposals received, work with management and whatnot. It also states that there's a maximum of $15,000 will be available to fund proposals in each priority area. So it comes to you $45,000 out of 50. And it says at least two proposals will be selected in each priority area, and the team will recommend the amount of funding for each. So it's flexible to that extent.
But realistically, if you're saying that there's only 15,000 in each subject area, then no individual proposal, if you're going to pick two, should have more than, let's say, $10,000 in it, because you can't fund two at 15.
That's right. You want to maximize the number of grants.
And just so other people know, the reason for that piece of it was something I mentioned when we talked a couple months ago, was that one of the ideas of this is that if you have a review body doing review, to be sure that everybody on the committee has some percentage in outcomes. In other words, if you do a peer review process, it's like a proportional representation voting system. If you only vote for one candidate, or one candidate proposal, half the people on the committee might have no representation in outcomes. But if you have at least two together, then everybody who's reviewed the committee, who's participated, should have some representation in outcomes. So that's the rationale for doing two, funding two at a time, to distribute where the funding goes according to the representation.
Brian here. And Terry on stack.
Brian, did Terry.
I'm going to start off with some stuff on the RFP template you have so far itself, because I'm actually really excited that we're setting this process up and that these budget variances are coming to us for review. One thing is that, and I think this came up last time we were dealing with this, it doesn't make sense to me to allocate the cost to an unrestricted revenue line, saying source of funds for proposed expenditure is national office mail drop revenues. I wasn't aware Pacifica earmarked unrestricted revenues, and I actually think it would be a bad practice. And the financials you've shown us show Pacifica under its revenue targets on balance for the year. I think it would be much better to assign this to an expense line and then have the statement also summarize its impact on the bottom line, which is what we wound up doing with the DDD proposal. The second thing is I think there's a math problem in this proposal. It says there's three program areas. No one of them can have more than $15,000, but the total impact is $50,000. There's 500 in equipment, so there's 4,500 unaccounted for in the proposal as it stands, almost 10% of the total cost. The third thing is I would love to see you develop into these financial impact statements some kind of accounting of indirect costs. I regret that when we reviewed the DDD project last week, we didn't raise the question of, for instance, how much an attorney's fees would be attendant on moving forward with the project as proposed. With this one, it seems like it might be reasonable to summarize how much staff time might be spent executing this process. And the reason I think it's important is that I think just as it's important for the National Board when it considers the direct dollar impact of its motions to also realize that its staff time is a limited quantity. And that if it piles on and piles on and piles on motions that require staff implementation, they will begin competing with each other for the scarce commodity of staff time. to implement them. And this in particular, you're dealing with giving away relatively small amounts of money, $15,000 split into smaller grants. If there's a substantial amount of staff time going into managing the administrative end of that, you might decide it doesn't balance out in the cost benefit.
Can I ask a question about that?
Sure.
So, for example, at KPFA, when grants are administered, if you bring in a grant, what portion of that goes to overhead?
Well, for instance, when I write up a grant, I mean, this job and my last job, I fundraise my own salary through grants and then some. We use a strict formula for calculating overhead based on how many FTEs the grant is funding. And depending on the grant maker, they'll either be willing to bear a portion of the overhead or they will specify that their funds are only available for project-related costs, in which case you're essentially saying the overhead is an in-kind contribution to the project from the sponsoring organization.
Well, in NIH, it's called direct and indirect costs. So the money that goes to administer it is indirect, and so my grant is $125,000 a year in direct costs and whatever indirect my institution requires. So in terms of KPFA, what is the indirect cost rate?
I got to cost it out. I mean,
On your grant, what was it?
I didn't, for the most recent one, I didn't calculate it because they're only funding direct project costs.
Can I respond to that, though?
Sure. Go ahead, Lonnie.
Well, you know, we don't charge ourselves indirect, number one. So that's not applicable here. We're not dealing with an outside vendor in the sense that we'd be dealing with a grant maker. We are the grant maker, not the grant recipient. Second of all, this is not a foreign process. We actually do this sort of thing with programming. Our producer will step up and say, I'd like to cover and produce the Roberts hearings. We do this all the time. It's not a foreign process. We're just formalizing it a little bit more and trying to incentivize people to come up with
programs. Oh, I dig it, Lonnie. But so if there's no change on an indirect cost level, then just put it in the statement. That's what I'm saying. Like build the statement template out so that it can at least summarize how much staff time might go into something apart from the direct added dollar cost. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, but it's not. We're talking about something as part of somebody's job already. That's what I want to be now.
I'm not talking about in reference to this proposal in particular, but into how the template works for these financial impact statements. Does that make sense?
Well, I don't. The time I would spend on this would be like, I don't know. I'm not going to be. There'll be three or four, a couple of committees on the board, the ED, the CFO. Speaking about all this staff time, I'm not sure that's worth. There's no benefit to that. That's not for just pure information, but it's not going to affect the bottom line.
Well, I think it. I mean, look, Lonnie, based on your income and benefits package from our 990 statement, when you sit on a three-hour meeting with us, that's costing the foundation $250 of your time.
Yes, I know, but we're
committee meetings cost money.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
not a practical point. But let me get my opinion now. We can disagree. I don't think it's worth it. Do all that. Secondly, it sets up a precedent of trying to track in-kind and staff costs. And we don't do that here. Many nonprofits don't do it for a lot of. You're setting up a accounting methodology when you start tracking in-kind contributions either from the staff or volunteers. And as you know, we don't do that for some very good reasons. It's not cost effective to do. I have to disagree with. Moving on.
Okay, well, it's just feedback.
Yeah, I understand. I'm just trying to let you know why I think that. Well, that's going to get into another realm of accounting methodology, and I hesitate to go there. Now, the other one is why is the math seemingly off? No, you're not going to necessarily grant. This is much stuff that's available. You're not necessarily going to grant it all out. It might not grant any if you don't get any details. And you do want to keep a reserve that you don't plan to give out. That makes sense. You want to do that. You don't want to give out every penny necessarily every year. Because you're going to be doing this on the basis of merit. So But you don't allocate it all. That's standard practice as well. So anyway, those are some of the considerations. Now, to that point I'm making is I think that I can identify, as I said before, not move it from mail drops to, as I said before, we're going to underspend legal for a lot of reasons. International organizations will overspend legal, but we will underspend legal. And I can identify revenues there, I think, I mean, in terms of underspending in the legal budget, which is, that will be the line item I could easily choose. So anyway, those are the three considerations. Now, again, I just finally stress, just trying to come up with an RFP process following a board request, and we're just at the point of discussing it and trying to figure out what will work best for us. And there's, as I say, three or four people groups that will be involved before the final shape of it will come to. So I think we're doing what we're supposed to do, going back and forth on it.
Can I get back on the stack?
Hey.
I finally get...
All right, were you through, Brian?
Terry,
you know, I have more stuff, but let some other people get their foot in the door, yeah.
Back and then Terry.
Was I recognized?
Dave. I think Dave and then Terry.
No, Terry was, when I said get back on, I meant after Terry.
Oh, I didn't even hear you say get back on. I'm sorry. I'm fading here. Terry, please.
Okay. I think it's time that we have a motion on the floor, so I've developed one. And I agree with some of what Brian said with regard to the line item involved, but nonetheless, here's the motion. The NFC finds that the CFO's proposal to allocate up to $45,000 annually towards projects approved by award through an RFP process is financially feasible for the current fiscal year if national mail drop revenue remains on projection. And before I surrender the floor, I would like confirmation from the CFO that he believes that there will be enough money from national mail drop revenue for an RFP process in this fiscal, even if the DDD project pulls funds from that same line item.
Yes, the answer would be, I think so. And you can see that I've got two places I think are relatively safe, aside from mail drops, is, as I said, we'll underspend legal, and that is there in the February statement to look at. And also, you can see that we will overproduce in the donations budget by a considerable sum. So I think that, and also, as I mentioned before, remember, mail drops and donations are related. We send out mail drops. People make donations. And right now, as I said before, in the national office, we've got $193,000 in unbudgeted gifts. So I feel that more will come in, and we should be okay. So those two areas I feel pretty confident about.
This is Dave. My turn, LaVarne?
Yes.
Okay, I like Terry's motion, but I agree with Brian. I think it should specify lines things come from. I'm hoping that in next year's budget we can have a budget line that says, you know, requests for proposals, and then there'll be subheadings in that for topic area, because it should, we should know what. Bertolt, could you please use your phone?
There's someone else who picked up the phone.
Someone else.
Thank you. Go ahead, Dave.
In any case, so I think that it would be nice if we knew we had a budget line specially for that. The other.
There's someone on the line.
Yeah,
thank
there's
you.
An interference somewhere.
Could you
Hello?
Mute yourself, Bertolt?
Huh?
No. There's someone getting on your other line. That's what the deal is here. So inform your household.
I think it should specify where the money comes from. The other thing is one of the things we talked about in KPFK, because KPFK was looking at trying to establish a parallel system here at Kay a couple of years ago, and the LSB was going to spend basically 9 months developing a process and then try and initiate it in the fourth quarter, but we didn't manage to get it done. But what we were talking about was the need for closing the loop, i.e., at the end of the period of time, how do you check back in and make sure that the funds were spent as they were supposed to have been spent? How does the monitoring occur so that you know that, you know, the person doesn't just go off and spend the money? And is there a report back at the end of the process? Is that in the process where we get a report of this much money was spent? And in terms of how it's administered, are we providing it to, like, when I do my proposals, I have a budget, and it's administered by the office, and whenever I need to write a check, I put in a PO request, and they do it all. So they're administering all the spending, including the spending on my salary and the rest. Is that something that we're going to be doing, or are we talking about giving the money as a single lump sum to the awardee?
Well, no, no. And what we could do is that maybe I'll move us along here. We could create, you know, an RFP, a budget line for RFP grants in our own budget, and include the monies we're talking about, $45,000 to $50,000, right there, and reduce another line item by that amount. In this case, legal or whatever I would choose, and then we would have it as a line item to see and to track. Now, to answer the second question, yes, a grant would include those evaluation procedures, those expenses, and the rest of it. We would, with any, really any line item, we do that. And then we could break it out so the board could see how the funds were being spent and who the grantees were. For example, if there were five grantees, we would perhaps show who was getting and how much they were spending in those areas. So, yes, all of that's possible. And
but would the money be awarded as a lump sum to the awardee? Or would the awardee, for example, request a PO of like, in the same way that at stations there have to be submissions to the business manager when somebody sends anything? Would all of the spending be administered by Pacifica, or would it be a lump sum payment to the awardee?
It would depend on the budget, but some grantees might need seed money. In that case, it would be paid out that way. But generally, it would be out on a needed basis, and they would do a PO, do a request, or do an invoice. In terms of what they've already put out, sometimes grantees need to put out in advance and need to be reimbursed. But yes, we would do it pretty much the way we do what we currently do. We call it a check requisition. We call it a PO, but we call it a check requisition. It's the same thing. So yes, all of that, all those procedures, all those controls would be in place. And we do that with every account, actually. In this case, we would show it. I'm thinking one solution would be to create this year an RFP grant line item, show the funds coming from the item, and show the expenditure of those funds as the grants are made. It'll be easy to do. Then we would have an RFP line item in the National Office Budget, grant. And we could develop the detail. Just as we break out the board's budget in the income statement, it shows board travel, board counseling, board training, board consultant. We could break out the RFP line item that way as well to show some detail.
Great.
Hey.
Brian here?
Yes, Brian.
Couple things getting into the meat of the proposal itself. Again, feedback. I worry a little bit about the team structure that you're proposing, where there are teams appointed by committees of the board that review and vet these proposals.
Yeah.
Possibly being a little bit unwieldy.
Yes, I am.
Certainly being time-consuming.
Yeah.
I mean, our LSBs are elected in November. Our PNB members are elected in December. Our PNB committee members are elected in February. And then our national committees are often left electing their own officers as late as March.
Yeah.
And, you know, with other things that involve our governance system, I worry that, that direct board involvement like that could turn this stuff into political footballs.
I don't know what the solution to that is, but I wanted to lay that concern on the table.
Yeah, I share that one.
Dave, do you mind if I run through a few things? And
sure, go ahead.
Okay. I guess the other, the slightly strange thing to me, when we started discussing about RFP process, I had assumed that what we would be asking you to come back with was a process for soliciting proposals in areas where the institution's already determined it wants to spend money, or in areas where it might identify those things in the future. For instance, at the national level, you have a pool of, I don't know, around $60,000 that you spend on limited series and one-time broadcasts. There's an application process for that, but the network doesn't actively solicit new ideas and proposals. And I was hoping that the RFP, a more elaborated RFP process, might be applied to that money to invite new ideas in the door. It seems a little strange to me to allocate what are actually very small amounts of money to these areas, technology, programming, and outreach, and say, the money's there, we're not sure what we want, now send us our proposals. I know that's what grant makers do. I know that's what foundations that need to give away money do, and I assume that's what government agencies that make grants as part of their charter do too. But that's not quite what we are. And when I see RFPs come from institutions that aren't grant makers, it's usually large corporations or government agencies or municipalities that have identified a specific need and are essentially soliciting bids for fulfilling it. And when I say a specific need, they're saying, you know, it's a city saying, we need to find 20,000 kilowatts more of electric capacity. Like, we're soliciting proposals from energy consultants to help us figure out whether it's cheaper to buy it on the open market or build a peaker power plant in town. So I don't know. I feel like I haven't wound up with what I was expecting out of this process.
Well, you know, if you look at the question of whether or not the RFP process would identify needs that are agreed upon and understood. Well, you know, on the technology, the board did talk about expanding Pacifica's internet footprint, create new content for online distribution, market online event programming, use the network that transmitters to build audience and financial support. That's the technology. Now, the content and goals might change. The board might say, yes, this is technology. We can't do all of that. We want to do this one and that one, but not the other one. Fine. That'll come out in this review process. But the goals there are ones the board has talked about and has written down. The second one on programming, you know, fund innovative initiatives that encourage collaboration, have the potential to influence public dialogue, and lift local voices to the national and global level through the use of digital and satellite outlets. Well, yeah. There seems to be pretty good agreement and consensus around getting that done. Not the detail, of course. But
what distinguishes that from the pot of programming money you already have?
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying earlier. This is not new. We've been trying to incentivize and do this sort of stuff all along. We're now trying to formalize the RFP process rather than have it be so informal that everybody has access, know what kind of projects we're interested in, post this stuff so that now you have a broader number of people who can access a more formalized process. The informal process that's gone on needs fixing, that is to say, certain producers who can step up and move quickly to have an advantage. They know what needs to get done, and they make proposals. This is now saying, well, we need to shore that up and formalize the process a little bit more and increase the access. And in doing so, make more people aware of it and knowing what the rules are. Okay?
Is there someone else on the stack there?
Yeah.
Sure. As
to the first point, the second point first, to me, what might differ is, you know, you may have the programming budget that the executive set aside because they know they're going to do a certain number of specials on hearings. And as hearings come up, producers within the network realize that, okay, I want to do that here. But if you said, you know, we have, and it's sort of the parallel of what you said in your first point. In my way of thinking, the executives are free to narrow or broaden the scope. So you might want to do, for example, one year the executives might say, this is a request for proposals to do investigative reporting on issues related to the war. And you might get proposals from all over to do that kind of thing. Or it could be very broad, you know, programming that advances the mission. At least at NIH, you have both targeted proposals and broad proposals. So you have an existing R01 mechanism where you fund grants that are essentially then you have specific targeted programs that say, okay, we want proposals that look into the, second messenger systems responsible for the induction of diabetes or something like that. And so it can be anything from soup to nuts. Outreach, I think, would naturally be a much broader kind of a request, because some people might say, hey, I want to be able to print up 1,000 CDs of your best programming every month and go out and give them out at festivals around the Signal area. And somebody else might say, hey, I want to put up a billboard, or I want to do this, or I want to do that. So for outreach projects, I think the amount of money is quite reasonable. For the technology side, it might be a little, might want a little more guidance. But you might say, for example, I want to set up a certain number of field packs that include the following facilities to do certain kinds of training, or I might want to develop a code that I want to develop a software program that allows me to run on my local computer and serve audio to Wi-Fi-enabled devices that would, pop up Pacifica programming or something like that. So as far as that goes, once you have the process, the people who are in charge of the announcements are free with scope. As to the first part, as to things becoming political, my understanding of Pacifica is that allocation to funds is highly political before you ever had an elected board, and most of the politics take place at the local station and have to do with internal power dynamics. So I don't really see any fundamental difference in having the governance structure involved in that, except that the latter process would be A, more transparent, and B, by people who were elected through a dual process. But the clumsiness of it, I take the point. And also, there's no telling that you're going to get the expertise on those committees that you would want. For certain kinds of proposals, you might want a very targeted set of people reviewing it. And for others, again, using the NIH, you might want a more generic group of people. Again, using the NIH analogy, for certain kind of targeted proposals, they very often form ad hoc review committees. So I think that in Lonnie's discussions with the managers and other people, they may have to thrash out a little bit more how to do this. I was actually surprised to find such a heavy contribution of the governance structure in the review of all these proposals. I thought it might be a little more mixed. But again, to use the NIH example, what happens at NIH is you have peer review for the
proposal. I don't mean to interrupt you, but it's 8 o'clock, so if you could kind of wrap it up, I would appreciate it.
Okay, last sentence. You have peer review for the proposals, and then you have the council that meets that decides, based on the priority scores that were given by the peer review, who's going to get what funding, and sometimes they adjust the funding based on other considerations, like this project is lesser score or not as good a score, but we consider the issue more pressing, therefore we're going to move funding there. So I'll leave it there.
All right, thanks. The time is 8 o'clock, so do we kind of, Terry, do we have any motion? Do we still have a motion on the floor, or where are we at this point?
We have a motion now on the floor, but since a time certain for adjournment has arrived, we must either extend time, adjourn, or adjourn to a time certain.
What does the committee would like to do here? Get an opinion? A suggestion?
I'd like to adjourn to a time certain.
Lonnie?
Yeah, what's that time?
Hi, this is Sandra.
Yes, Sandra.
I'm sorry, folks, but I have a really early wake-up call in the morning, and it's been a very long day, and I would move to adjourn this meeting. Thank you.
Not to a time certain?
No, I would move to adjourn.
Okay.
I believe my motion to adjourn to a time certain.
Reference. Go ahead. I think we need to. I think we really need to continue this so we can have something for the PNB meeting. And you know, if we could just have this as the only topic of discussion after it'll be after the Thursday meeting that you'll have, Lonnie, and then I can look at the calendar here and see perhaps Tuesday.
Yeah, are we talking Tuesday the 17th?
There's an archive meeting, but if we start at, and is anyone on the committee here also on archive?
No. I can look on it.
So if we could start at say half an hour and a half at the most.
Yes.
On Tuesday.
This is Sandra. I am on the archives committee, or I'm sorry, affiliates committee. But yeah, please continue. I will do my best to try to keep up.
Okay, thanks. We appreciate it. We should, you know, an hour 15, hour 30 at the most. I think we should take care of it in 1 hour. And that's, so continue it to the 17th. Is there any other discussion on this? Or
yeah, what time?
Dog. Yes.
Sorry, what? Brian. What was that date again? The 13th?
Yes, the 17th.
Okay.
Is that general agreement? The 17th at 5:00.
Five.
That's the RFP process.
Okay.
Okay, and there are other items we'll have to. You know, the goals and projects. I would like to have that updated for the PNB meeting also. So we can include that in our report, because I actually leave, I guess, on Thursday of next week. So those two items, the RFP and the goals and the projects. Okay?
Yeah.
Discussion? So we shall, there was a motion to adjourn to a time certain, so then.
That's 5 p.m. Pacific?
EDT on the 17th.
Okay. Done, Madam Chair. I move that we do adjourn to the time set.
Okay. Is there any other discussion on this? Well, I'd certainly like to thank everyone for hanging in for this length of time, including myself. I'm about to fall asleep. And we will see you and speak with you on the 17th.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Good night, all. Thanks.
Sorry.
That was just Lonnie saying, right, thanks.
Right, and then I'll listen on the call on Thursday, because, you know, again, it's just not very in the purpose, but I don't think we're quite there. Okay, good night.
Good night.
Thanks, everyone.
All right.
All right, bye-bye.